Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Global Teleclass. And welcome to our teleclass this evening, Choices, Choosing the Right Soul Path, with Tom T. Moore. Now, my name is Dave Sheldon. I'm your host here at Global Teleclass. Welcome. And Tom will be with us in about 5 minutes at the top of the hour, and that's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern time here in North America. We are going to have folks calling in from all over the world. I'm going to go ahead and mute the lines right now. Because, as I said, we're literally going to have people calling in from all around the world for Tom's teleclass tonight. And that'll be getting started in about 4 minutes. For right now, may I suggest that you kick on back. You're in the right place. Grab your favorite beverage. Grab a pen and paper or a tablet, something to take notes with. Tom is going to have a lot of great information for you tonight. And I'm going to be telling you a little bit more about his teleclass. And also, I'll be introducing him at the top of the hour. But for right now, I know we have people calling in every minute. So if you're just joining us, welcome to Global Teleclass. My name is Dave Sheldon. I'm your host here at Global Teleclass. Thank you so much for joining us. You're here tonight for Choices, Choosing the Right Soul Path with Tom Moore. Now, by the way, if you are new to Global Teleclass, please allow me to tell you that here at Global Teleclass, we feature top speakers, authors, and experts from around the world, just like our audience. It's always free to register. You can register for as many classes as you like. And we hope if you like us, and actually we're sure you will like us, that you'll also like us on Facebook. We have a new Facebook page here at Global Teleclass. And there you'll find some special interviews, features. There's even some videos from our founder, Hilton Johnson. But don't go there now, please, because in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be getting started with tonight's teleclass, Choices, Choosing the Right Soul Path with Tom Moore. And that's going to begin at 9 p.m. Eastern Time here in North America. Welcome to all of the folks in the United States and Canada on our call tonight. And I know we have a few people calling in from down under. So good Friday morning. To those folks who are off in Brisbane, looks like we're coming up on about 11 a.m. On that side of the world where it's already tomorrow. But right here and now, it's tonight here at Global Teleclass, and you're here for Choices, Choosing the Right Soul Path with Tom T. Moore. And by the way, Tom, are you on the line with us yet?
Hi, Dave.
Oh, howdy, Tom. Welcome. So glad you are here. I've been welcoming our global audience, saying hello to everybody as they're checking in, and it looks like we're about a minute away from the start of our teleclass. So for those of you who are just calling in, please allow me to say one more time, welcome to Global Teleclass. So glad you could join us. My name is Dave Sheldon. I'm your host here at Global Teleclass, and you're joining us this evening for Choices, Choosing the Right Soul Path with Tom T. Moore. And we're going to be getting started at the top of the hour, which is just coming up here in just a moment. So allow me to suggest again, please, grab a pen and paper, a tablet, something to take notes with. Tom is going to have a lot of great information for you tonight. And settle on back and get ready for a great teleclass. But let me begin, please, by asking you all a question. How can you know if the choices that you make today and tomorrow will keep you on your own soul path? Well, tonight, Tom is going to show you how. Now, Tom, of course, is an author and a speaker, but many of you may not know that he is also a CEO from the entertainment industry, and he distributes motion pictures and TV programs internationally. And he brings his keen knowledge of how requesting benevolent outcomes can be used in both business affairs and one's personal life. Now, Tom says that requesting benevolent outcomes for over 14 years is what has resulted in him leading a gentler, less stressful, and less fearful life, what he calls the gentle way. Now, he's the author of two books, The Gentle Way, A Self-Help Guide for Those Who Believe in Angels, and
Welcome to the virtual campus hosted by Hilton Johnson Productions. Please enter your PIN number followed by the pound sign.
Happens to be for you. We're going to cover a lot of things tonight, and I'm not going to try and sell you anything tonight. I'm going to hopefully give you a lot of information and give you places to find more information and resources. That will start with my website. And my website, if you'd like to take it down, is www.thegentlewaybook.com. Okay? And on the homepage of the website, you can sign up for a weekly newsletter that I have. I've been doing this for about over 3 years now, every week, and it's filled with topics, the most varied topics that you can imagine, because I receive emails every week from people all over the world asking me to ask questions of my own guardian angel and Gaia, the soul of the earth, in meditation. So we give you a really different perspective on things that you've never probably even thought about before. Also, I have a blog, and you can find the blog. It's also on the homepage, but the blog is www.thegentlewaybook.com/blog. Very simple. And all the blogs are on there. You just keep scrolling down from the newest to on down as many as you wish. And these are stories that are sent to me from all over the world, again, from people using this simple spiritual tool, which we'll get into a little bit later. So with that, we're going to talk about choices in life. How can you stay on your soul path, is the way I used to have it told to me or read, or your soul contract, as my guardian angel Theo calls it. How do we do this when we don't know what our soul contract is? We're all veiled and we wander around in the dark, feeling our way. So that's what we're going to get into, and I'd like to start with comparing what a Hollywood movie portrays soul contracts, guardian angels, and God, or the creator, as I like to call him. And I'd like to compare the Adjustment Bureau, if any of you have seen that movie. It was a little bit earlier this year. I believe it was out in March, to what I've been told things are really like. Okay? Now, the Adjustment Bureau, just to give them credit, because it was a nice movie, and I enjoyed it. I would recommend, if you haven't seen it, order it on Netflix or one of the direct services that perhaps you subscribe to. And so the Adjustment Bureau was, the screenplay was written and also directed by George Nolfi, and the story was by Philip K. Dick. And for those of you that might not recognize his name, he was also the writer of the story that the Blade Runner was based on, and also Total Recall. So he has written some very unusual stories that I think everyone is quite familiar with. The movie starred Matt Damon and let's see, Emily Blunt. And of course, Matt Damon was known for the Bourne films and many others that he's done. Emily Blunt is known for The Devil Wears Prada and Young Victoria. So with that set up, basically the story that Hollywood portrays in The Adjustment Bureau is that Matt Damon plays a gentleman that is running for Congress, and he is losing, goes into the men's restroom to work on his consolation speech, and runs into Emily Blunt, who's hiding in a stall. I'll let you see the movie to find out why and all. And so she basically tells him, you need to be more honest. And so he throws the speech away, and he's very honest, and everyone applauds him for this. And so he goes to work for his campaign manager in a law firm, and he's naturally attracted to her. He winds up seeing he's supposed to spill coffee on his shirt at exactly 7:05 a.m. and miss seeing her on a bus, but the man in the gray suit and the gray hat, who is Hollywood's portrayal of like his guardian angel, accidentally misses this, and then he has to run down the street after the bus because Matt jumps on the bus to meet her again and renew the friendship, which was not supposed to happen because, according to his guardian angel, as he later finds out, he has a good chance to become, first of all, a senator and then the president of the United States. And if they get together, that will not happen, nor will she become this great ballerina and a great choreographer. So both of them are supposed to be kept apart so that these great events can happen in both their lives, their soul contracts, which they have this book that has moving lines on it that is their Hollywood's idea of what a soul contract looks like. And as the movie continues, naturally it's like I have fallen in love with this woman and I've got to be with her. And he goes through all sorts of things with the Adjustment Bureau, all the guys in the gray suits trying to prevent him from getting together with her again, even having her be hurt as a ballerina so that he can't see her performance and all. So many things conspire. Finally, and also these guys have portals. They don't call them portals in the movie, but they can open a door as long as they're wearing this hat, and they can jump from one end of New York to the other end of New York. And so that's how they're able to keep up with him, no matter how fast he runs or whatever. And so eventually he's able to get his guardian angel to give him his hat, and he and Emily are able to travel through these doorways and finally reach the Adjustment Bureau. And even with a really bad hard nose, another guardian angel that's been sent to really clean things up, and eventually why the chairman, as he's called, which is Hollywood's rendition of God or the creator, rewrites the book and allows them to be together forever. So it's a nice movie, okay? but that's Hollywood's idea of portraying soul contracts, guardian angels, and God. Okay, so now, how is it really? I'll give you what I've been told by my guardian angel in meditation, okay? First of all, soul contracts. People have really a lot of misunderstandings about soul contracts. People are always thinking, oh, I've got to have free choice. I don't want to be forced to do anything, and I want to be able to live my own life. Well, in actuality, that's true. The soul contract or that soul path is something that your soul laid out to be the very best life that you could possibly lead, with the best number of challenges, the best number of successes, the people that you would meet, the people that you would love, and so on. It would be the best life you could possibly have. And that's your soul contract. Now, what happens when we're born, of course, we immediately become veiled. And we're not able to know that soul contract. And so here we are wandering around in the woods, so to speak, trying to figure out what we're supposed to do in life. And in many cases, we don't stick with the soul contract. We go off the path, off the reservation, as I call it. And so your soul has to redo. It knows that there's a probability of that happening. Your soul actually knows every single probability of you going off the beaten path for your whole life. And it already has plans that are not as good as the perfect life, but still will get things done as best as possible. And also, because of that, you actually have more than one time that fate, we'll call it, has where you can exit, where you can pass on, where you can die. And there may be two or three different exit points, depending on if your soul says, well, you know, based on the fact he's gone so far off the path here, we're going to take this first exit point. And lo and behold, there's a car crash, and the person's gone. If you stayed pretty well on your soul contract, you get to live a lot longer life. Maybe you still are killed in a car crash, but maybe it's 30 years later. Whatever your soul contract calls for. And so that's how soul contracts are supposed to work. That you are supposed to try and stay as close as you can on that soul contract, because that is what your soul wants you to do. And you have free will. You can go off the reservation if you want, but it's not in your best interest. Now, what are guardian angels? About 75 or 80% of the American public in a Gallup poll say that they believe in angels. But after that, it really becomes a real hodgepodge of what people believe about angels. But we can take at least that there are 75 or 80% of the people that believe in angels and start from that point. So Theo has told me that guardian angels are actually what are called golden light beings. And these golden light beings are called that because they emanate a gold light. And the reason they do is that they're ancient souls. These are actually whole souls, but they are very ancient. They've been around a long time. They have much experience. Theo has told me he's gone to many other universes, creations, and has learned much, and he was the first whole soul or guardian angel to apply for the job as a guardian angel. And he said that the criteria for being a guardian angel was that only golden light beings need apply. And he says he has a lot of humor, so he makes jokes about things like that. He says there are about 1 million golden light beings. Now, they don't like particularly being called guardian angels. They prefer the term servants of the Creator. But if I called them servants of the Creator, no one would know what I was talking about, so I call them guardian angels. And a guardian angel, another misconception is, I used to think of guardian angels like Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life, if you remember that great old movie. And Clarence was trying to get his wings, and he worked to do that. That's not how they are. A golden light being is a tremendously powerful being, very, very powerful being. Now, Theo has told me that he takes care of 19,000 plus whole souls. Okay? Now, each whole soul has a number of soul fragments that it breaks off from itself to have these lives on earth for its learning purposes, which we can get into perhaps tonight. And so they break off these fragments of themselves, and normally in a soul group or a soul cluster, as Theo calls it,
welcome to the virtual campus hosted by Hilton Johnson Production. Please enter your PIN number followed by the pound sign.
The soul breaks off pieces of itself and gives them different, slightly different vibrations, and gives them slightly different interests and all. So they're all different, so that again, for the soul's learning purposes. And so Theo handles these 19,000 souls times 6 to 12 soul fragments, and then you multiply that. Each one of those soul fragments has 600 to 800 lives on earth. And I said, gosh, that's a wide range, Theo. Why such a wide range? And he said, Tom, he said that each soul has its own interests. It's like some people like to be artists and some people like to be scientists. And he said, the souls are the same way. They have different artists, different interests. But they also like to do things differently. So one soul will say, well, I want to get these lives over with as quickly as possible, because these lives, they have to experience every single thing for each fragment that the Earth School has to offer. Every single thing. I mean, we're talking about earthquakes and floods and all sorts of calamities and everything that the Earth can offer in Earth School, they have to experience in at least one of those 600 to 800 lives. And so some of the people that you might meet or you might know are what you could almost call drama queens, because something is happening in their life all the time, all the time. And others, you see, seem to have a little bit easier lives, and they have challenges, but they're not so many. And one of the reasons for that is that one of those people that you know might be on one of those fast tracks where they have to have more challenges because they're having 200 or so less lives. And that's how it happens. So it all depends on the individual souls, how fast they want to get these lives over with. Beyond that, all of these lives for all of these fragments of these souls are all taking place at the same time. We all are on, time is an illusion for us, so all of these lives are happening at the same time throughout thousands, if not millions, of years. And so you can imagine your guardian angel is taking care of you in all of your lives, all at the same time, and also, for each life, there are a total of 12 parallel lives. And you've heard science fiction shows explore this before, but there are 12 parallel lives going on. Theo calls them timelines. And there are 11 physical and one non-physical timeline. And these timelines, we're on timeline number 6, so we're in the middle. And the higher timelines are at a higher vibration, and the lower timelines naturally are at a lower vibrational rate, and they have harder lives. So the people, the parallel lives down at timelines number 1 and 2 are having pretty difficult lives compared to what we're having. And again, that gets complicated, but you see the guardian angels are doing making millions of decisions at any moment. So I always explain to people, I give the example, a 3D example, that my guardian angel Theo could handle 2 million requests for a parking spot all at the same time and not break a sweat. So when you request assistance from your guardian angel, remember this is a very powerful being. This is not just some little clairvoyant trying to win his wings. Okay? Now, as I explained, God, or the Creator, as Theo and I like to call him, her, or it, is one of several billion creators. There are several billion universes. But this Creator has created the most unique universe of all because of what he's trying to do, and we are the most unique planet in all of those universes because we have found a way to work with negative energy, which has never been able to work with.